No Saw Connection, JT and Ryan, your favorite duo, back at you. And we have a cool little countdown for you today. We are counting down every Boston WWE pay-per-view ever. Now, I kind of hate most of Boston stuff. Ryan loves it. So I agreed to this, not the biggest fan, but here on TikTok, you'll be catching some of this. And the whole thing in its entirety will be airing on YouTube as well at North South Connection. So check that out. Follow us on social media. You won't miss any of it. All right, Ryan, are we ready to dive in? I believe there's how many? 14?
There's been four since 1993 was the first one, Survivor Series in the old Boston Garden, up to recently 2022 Survivor Series. So there's been 14 Boston WWE pay-per-views in between.
Okay, so we're going to go through. Now, this ranking is previously ranked from, is it Cage Match? No, who put this together?
Yep, I took the Cage Match scores, and I was like, all right, let's spit those together, and that's what we're going to go with the rankings. And then as we go, and at the end, we'll kind of finalize our rankings.
Yeah, we're going to re-rank each one. So we'll go from 14 to 1 based on Cage Match cumulative scores, and we're going to kind of slot them on our own list as we move along.
Yep, so let's just get going.
All right, Ryan, before we get started, what are our, we're going to rank them 14 to 1 on our own, but we also kind of tear them off. And naturally, we are doing Boston pay-per-view, so we use some Boston terminology. Do you want to say what those categories are?
Sure. I have All Time here, which is the Larry Bird. I have Very Good Pay-Per-View, which is Pissa or Wicked Pissa. We have a mid category, which is No Sus or No Sus.
No Sus. No Sus. Not going to watch that.
No Sus. I ain't watching that. And then we have Wicked Bad, which is just Dirty Water.
Yeah, Dirty Water. No good. No good. No good. All right, Survivor Series. I won't do the accent the whole time, I promise. All right, number 14, Survivor Series 2013. All right, so this is the one with the Punk and Bryan, right? Doing the matches against the Wyatts and the Shield. Is that this?
Yeah, that's the probably Punk and Bryan in the handicap match versus the Shield is probably the best match here. The opener is good. Del Rio Cena is good. Orton and show is just really, really bad. Cage Match gave this a 4.22, and I went 4.5.
So it sounds like it probably stays in the basement of 14.
Yeah, the filler is just not good at all. And the opener is pretty good with Roman Reigns having four eliminations. He would break that later on, but it's a good presentation for the Shield and overall Roman, but it's pretty much a miss of a pay-per-view.
And I was thinking of TLC where they split it and do the two handicaps again with Punk and Bryan. Right, one fights the Wyatts, one fights the Shield. I think they kind of run it back. But yeah, here it's the 2-on-3. So it's an odd time. You get Punk is disgruntled. You're setting up the unification with Orton and Cena coming up. But, you know, the anti-fan stuff is really ramping up as well. So
they're not really going with who we want right at this time period.
No, and it would last that way for the next year plus at least.
Yeah, and this pay-per-view was like colliding at that sentiment for sure. So overall, this is wicked Dirty Water.
Yeah, trash.
All right, number 13, according to Cage Match, is the Survivor Series 1993, the last pay-per-view in the Boston Garden and the only pay-per-view in the Boston Garden. It was probably the All-Americans versus the Foreign Fanatics is the main event. Cage Match 4.56, and I went 4.5. I really want to like this pay-per-view, but with the opener being not so bad, everything else is pretty bad. Hart and HBK teams with the Knights is memorable, but it's bad, and the four doinks are legit awful.
Yeah, I love the posters. They did the dueling ones, so the Foreign Fanatics and then the All-Americans. Of course, Undertaker ends up filling in for Tatanka for the guys on this poster. But it sold out. I remember being a big deal when the Boston Garden is sold out, the first pay-per-view, and then Providence Civic Center for the Rumble sold out, and then Madison Square Garden sold out for Mania. So they had like a real hot streak where they were really promoting these classic Northeast venues, and they were packing them for these pay-per-views. I think this one's going to – it's going to be like a nostalgia may vary for everyone. I always look at this one similar to like 89. I think it just is kind of where you're at as a fan and how you feel about the characters and the wrestlers involved because the matches, there's no real big title matches. There's nothing that means much. It just comes down to how nostalgic you are for this period. I do like the opener quite a bit. The Heavenly Bodies and Rock and Rolls is pretty fun. And the main event's good. The Doinks is, shticky shit. So I would say it's going to land for me somewhere between Dirty Water and No Sir. So let's see. We'll plug it into like 10 for now. But it may come back to 13. I don't know. But I got to see what else there is.
Overall, it's more of a fun watch than
much. Yeah. It's a solid. There's a lot of those Survivor Series in the early days. They're just nostalgic watches.
Yep. All right. Number 12 here. The King of the Ring 2000.
See, I would have this below Survivor Series. To me, what kills this show is the potential is so high. and it just under delivers so poorly. It's the most talented the roster had been in forever. The writing was great. The TV was on fire, and they just could not get out of their own way booking this tournament. It's a disaster of a tournament. You got Bull Buchanan and Crash Holly. You know, Holly's in the second round. It's like, it just makes no, none of it makes any sense when you look at the talent involved. The main event is a kind of a clusterfuck with the Triple H teaming with Vince and Shane and putting his world title on the line. Like, that makes no sense. Angle winning is cool, but beyond that, there's nothing else to really get into on the show. I think I would have this 13 for now, with maybe worse to come. But what was your grade on it?
Cage match 4.79, slightly better than the Survivor Series 93. I went 4.5 as well. I kind of like the Dudley's DX thing. Jericho and Angle is probably the best match comparable
to Yeah.
And it's Kurt Angle's night, and he's kind of made here for that elevation of a push, but the main event is an absolute mess. So 4.5 is just in that
tier of bad. In-ring is fine, probably, yeah. Right? I mean, it's going to probably – there's probably multiple matches that are better than anything on Survivor Series 93, but to me, it's all about wasted potential. Like, this show is such a miss for the hot period, and it was so disappointing watching this live. I was like, man, like, what? Like, I was so excited for this. I'm like, all right, a tournament with legit wrestlers and studs, and then you got Jericho's out in the first round. You know, they're forcing the Val Rikishi thing, which is fine. It was an okay feud. It just felt like when you look at the resources they had on hand, to have that be the output of this tournament made no sense.
Yeah, it's pretty much nostalgia versus miss.
Oh, and Benoit gets DQ'd, yeah. Right? Like, he uses the chair and gets DQ'd in the opening round. Like, it was dumb. Like, it didn't make
sense. For me, it's like nostalgia versus, like, Kurt Angle's push. Like, the Kurt push is cemented and started.
He's got way better stuff in 2000. I would put this toward the bottom. Like, he's got, probably at least a dozen things better than this in 2000 alone.
No, absolutely.
And but then it's a little Raw, bit more memorable. Did you go to Raw the next night in Worcester?
Nah, yeah, is that the Kane? I think so. Kane.
That's when Vince goes home to bang Linda, and Foley takes over as commissioner. That was that night.
For sure. Honestly, the 2000s kind of run a little bit together for me.
Taz returns and attacks Rikishi from his injury. I think that's a couple things I remember from that show.
Number 11, a show we both were at, Survivor Series 2008. Justin, we did this on the PTBN podcast. We went over the show in long form. If you want to check that out.
Anyway. Yeah, that's what the Place Elimination Wrestling feed, me, you, and Scott. It's, again, I found it to be disappointing in rewatch. You get all the stupid shit with like Jeff Hardy not being there, then he is there. That's Taker Big Show, right? Is that the casket? Which one?
Yeah, it's legit bad.
That's bad. Cena Jericho is anticlimactic.
Which is good at best.
You know, it's fun that Jericho won the belt back, and then Cena just wins it right back from him in his hometown. I think this is properly toward the bottom.
It just felt like there should be a little bit more. For me, it's still in dirty water. Cage match 5.08. Myself, just a plain 5, as I only did full grades and 0.5s. The Edge stuff is a mess. The Kozlov and Triple H match leading into it is terrible, but at least the Edge stuff is a little bit exciting and adds a little bit juice to the show. And the two Survivor Series match beforehand were just, you know, fine at best. Averaging.
Yeah, I'm looking at my grades.
Average Survivor Series match.
The highest I had was 3.5 for that opener in Survivor Series match. 3.25 for the main. 3 on the other Survivor match. So, I mean, again, it's probably better than 93, but it's so uninspiring mostly to watch it. And again, I think it's a potential thing. So, I mean, I think the bottom 4 here seem right. I think it just depends the order we want to put them in. So, me personally, I'd probably go from worst to best. I'd go Survivor Series 2013, this, Survivor Series 08, King of the Ring 2000, Survivor Series 93. That's my personal 14 to 10 tier right there, or 11 tier.
Yeah, as we're there. Yeah, I think it's easily 14 is the worst, hands down. And I would probably go King of the Ring, then Survivor Series. This Survivor Series, then I go just on nostalgia.
Yeah, right? I mean, if you had to pick the order to watch these shows right now, Survivor Series 93 is the one you start with, right? And the others, you kind of like, all right, you get to them. But
Cena match is good. It's just we were over it.
It's all the same at that point. It's all
exactly
the
same. In the middle of his Cena must pose run.
As Bare Naked Ladies once said, it's all been done.
Yeah. All right, we jump into the top 10 here, Justin. Number 10, 2017 Clash of Champions. I was here for this one, like the last one. The main event was Jinder Mahal versus AJ Styles. Cage match gave it a 5.75 grade. Solid stuff with the mid card, just kind of overall boring. Justin, this is the definition of a December pay-per-view, and I'm really glad that they would go away in years after this, because it's pretty much just like, all right, this is what we got going on, SmackDown. Let's kind of have a very good SmackDown show, and this is what these December pay-per-views tend to be. But I will say Jinder and AJ actually kind of outkicked its coverage, and it was pretty good. I looked at my grades, and I was at 3.5 on it. So,
and that's not the title change, right? That's on TV.
No, this is the title retention, and this is pretty much the end of the Jinder Mahal push right here. Yeah, and, yes, yeah, it was, you know, a pretty good show. Myself, I went with a grade of 6, so good. You know, pretty good.
I mean, 17, 18 is really the era of, like, the bloated kind of pay-per-views where on paper they should be better, but they're kind of middling because it's the same stuff over and over. I'm fine with it being the bottom of this next year, like they have in a cage match. I don't think it would be below any of the ones we've talked about, just based on match quality. So,
listen, when AJ and Jinder is your best match.
We'll put it at, like, 10 for now, but there's a world where I may bump Survivor Series 93 over it again, just because I don't want to make this all about rewatchability, right? I don't think that's our goal here, but that factors in for me quite a bit. So,
yeah.
And I'm sure the show is long. I'm sure it's not too short.
It's actually a quick smack. This is the era in SmackDown where it was like the B pay-per-view brand, and they just breezed through the 3 hours.
All right. Sounds good. So it's not like one of the 4.5 hours.
No, WrestleMania 34 is when they went with the combined shows, Raw and SmackDown, and that's when they got bloated.
Right. Yeah.
All right, this one I personally think is just way too low. This is the 2014 Money in the Bank. I was there live again. I bought really good tickets, and this is like when the kids were like 4 and 8. So I got really good tickets. We're on hard camera, like second row. The kids are all over it. It's around their birthday party. The vibes were great. But anyways, I think this should be a little bit higher, as Cage Match had it at 5.94. The Rollins Money in the Bank was all-time Money in the Bank match. I had it 4.25. Wyatt and Usos was a very good opener. Mm-hmm. Bad. This is where the show kind of gets hurt on cage matches, because the inconsequential stuff is very bad. You're like Fandango bullshit, Sandow bullshit, and then Cena kind of must pose when he won his title match. So the crowd kind of groaned again. But overall, personally, I went 6.5, and I have it at the very top of the mid-tier. I might go good just on rewatchability. It's a fun rewatch, and the opener is really good, but I have it at the top tier of the second tier here.
Yeah, I was here too. We had a pretty good little contingent. Our buddy Aaron came down and he went to the show, and we had a group live, and I definitely really enjoyed it. I remember thinking it was a good show. I really liked that. The Rollins Money in the Bank, like you said, the Cena one was okay. You kind of knew going in with the lineup it was going to be a little milk toasty, because it was all the former winners or all former champions, right? It was something like that that had to be in it.
And
you had
Roman
to be
a former
world champion to be in it. So
No. So Cesaro and Roman earned their way in also. So yeah.
Right. It was some kind of, they had some kind of decree though, like who could be in it. So it was kind of one of the, other than like the early couple, it's kind of the most like star studded Money in the Bank match where they actually put like the main event guys in, which they don't usually do. I would say this is one of the ones they did that.
Well, the title was on the line for Cena too.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I would say this is a, like you said, I'd probably put it at the top of Nosa. So maybe it's more like 7 versus 9, or maybe 6 into 6, depending on what's coming ahead. But I would say it's in there. I don't think it's really in contention with the shit we've talked about before. I think that Rollins Money in the Bank match alone and the Usos opener, like, put it above any of that.
Yeah, Rollins is like an all-time guy with the bank briefcase, too. And for him to win, it adds significance historically, too. It's just that the bad stuff was super bad, and that's how it got dung on this show via cage match.
Yeah.
All right, number 8, another one that I was at. We're on our heater here. I personally really, really like this SummerSlam. I would have it at a tier above where it's at. Did you go to this one, Justin?
No, but I actually was in Boston on this night. We went to the Yankees-Red Sox game.
Yes.
And I believe this is the Boston Massacre series where they beat them 4 in a row or whatever, or 5. It was like 5 games in 4 days. It was something ridiculous like that.
Where 06 they ended, was not good in August.
Yeah, I think it's where they ended their, I thought it was. They knocked them out of the playoff race, basically, or out of the division, because they beat them like all 5 games. I think this was the series. I was at the Sunday night game. There was a rain delay, so we had to leave early to catch the train back. And coming back on the train, we were picking up people leaving SummerSlam, and they were telling me I was asking what happened, because the guys came in with the merch or whatever. And when they said Edge retained, I was like fucking shocked that Cena didn't win the title. And this wasn't like the real smartphone era, so you couldn't get like easy updates of what was going on. So I had to catch up later.
That's like the end of that era, by the way.
I could maybe get some texts, but you weren't like able to easily check results or whatever on your phone. Foley Flair is awesome for sure. The DX McMahon.
I like it.
Yeah, it's sticky. It's fun when they do all the finishers, like Vince and Shane doing the heart attack and the decapitation device and all that. That's cool. Edge and Cena is fine. The match at Unforgiven obviously is awesome.
It's the ladder match at Unforgiven is all time. This is like 3.5 very good. And this is Hulk Hogan's last match, and it was a big deal. And Orton did a good job with him. You know, it wasn't a fantastic match, but he's also at the end of his career. And that was an all-time pop when he came out. So I'm
Sabu too, right? Sabu,
Big Show. This is like a really, really odd time for the WWE, but all that height and that peak kind of comes together here.
06 is a strange year. It's like a poor man's 02, where like there's so much weird stuff going on. They're throwing stuff at the wall to see what'll stick. They're kind of in between eras.
All that culminates this night, I think. A lot of it does here.
Yeah, so I mean, I have this probably a little higher. We got to see what's to come still. But let's put this in the pissa category for now, the bottom of the
pissa. I have this as very good pissa. And the cage match, 6.08. And I have it personally at 7. I might go a little bit higher.
I'd say this is top 8 for sure. What do they have? They have it at 8. So
they have it at 8, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little bit higher on the pissa. Well, we got to see what's still to come. I think there's some good stuff to come still. So
I'm unabashedly high on this, and I'm aware of it as an 06 fan and truther. All right. Number 7 is the 2011 Royal Rumble. I did not go to this. I don't remember why, but I ordered it on pay-per-view. I just didn't go for some odd reason. And Justin, this is known for the 40-man Royal Rumble match. Edge and Ziggler was a very good opener. And other than that, that's kind of it. The 40-man Royal Rumble. Guess how long it was, Justin. I want to see if you can think.
I'm going to say it was under an hour.
No, it was 69 minutes in like 8 seconds.
There you go. You would have thought it'd be longer, though, because there's 30-man rumbles that go longer than that. Del Rio's kind of a okay winner.
Transition time on the roster, too, by the way.
Yeah, and for 40 guys, the only big surprises was what, Nash and Booker, right? Like, I don't think there's much beyond that, is there?
No, but they were big surprises. They paid
Nash was fun. Well. That was a cool one when he came out. I mean, Booker, too, so... But still, I mean, the roster is not strong enough to support 40 entries at this point into the match. I'll be covering this soon on another show I do, so we'll see how it holds up in earnest. But my gut says this is more down, not dirty water, but more in the NOSA. Like, I'd have this below SummerSlam 06 for sure. I'd have this likely below Money in the Bank. Oh, I'd have it below Money in the Bank as well, for sure.
It's weird because this is where pay-per-views are like kind of dying a little bit, and they throw the 40 man in there to kind of boost the rating and the buy rate for sure to add interest, which kind of helped. But anyways, cage match.
I hate it though. It throws off all the history and the stats. Like, it's kind of a stats guy. Like, it always bugs me. Like, okay, like, why are we fucking with one of the few things that works in WWE history is WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble match. Like, they should never mess with either of those things. Now, they made positive changes in adding a second, like the women's rumble and all that, which is fine. But like, I don't think they should ever screw with either of those formulas. They are locked down. They work. Now, there are versions of it that don't always work. But in theory, the worst rumble is still very highly rated, right? So I wouldn't mess with it. And this is like the closest they ever came to really messing with it.
If it was a thing where they were like, all right, it's 40 men, and then it stayed 40 men. All right, we transitioned out of 30. We started with 20. We went to 30. Now we're at 40. But then, wait, they went right back to it. So it just totally fucks everything up.
Anyways. Yeah, if this was going forward or always going to be 40, fine. But no, it's just a one random year at a time where they have a weak-ass roster, you know?
Yeah. All right, cage match 6.26. I went 6, and I have it in the NOSA mid category. So.
Yeah, I'd have at least below Money in the Bank at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Hell in a Cell 2016. This was 3 Hell in the Cell goddamn pay-per-view matches, Justin. Way too much. Opened with Rusev and Roman in the U.S. title. It was okay. It was good, but for the guidelines of Hell in the Cell, it wasn't that great. It closed with Charlotte Sasha, which was very good, but it's the 3rd Hell in the Cell match of the night. And then the middle Hell in the Cell match was Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. And I thought that was great and easily the best Hell in the Cell match of the night. Before I throw it to you, cage match 6.41, and I went with 6. It's kind of similar to the Rumble we just talked about for me. Way too many Hell in the Cell matches.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of memory that sticks out, jumps out at me. So that tells you probably it's pretty mid, I think. And there's better women's cell matches for sure to come. But this is the first one, right? So it's kind of a big deal.
First one that would main event too, I believe.
Yeah, so it was a big deal. So I think we'd give it a little bump on that. I think I'd still have it below SummerSlam 06.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's still in that mid tier.
Yeah, yeah. It's above Rumble 11 for me, for now at least.
Number five is TLC 2015 with a 6.55 cage match. The best match is the Usos, the New Days, and the Lucha Dragons in that awesome, awesome ladder match. KO and Dean Ambrose was kind of disappointing. So wasn't Charlotte and Paige disappointing mid-match. But overall, Roman and Sheamus in a TLC match was borderline great. It delivered very well. So you have two great matches, is probably why this is ranked so high. I overall went to a 7, and this is the start of the wicked pissa tier for me.
Yeah, I like the show a lot. This is another one we did kind of a group outing to. That opener, watching it live, was like insane. When they do the Salida de Sol off the ladder, like that was one of my favorite live moments. I like the main event a lot. I actually thought Reigns and Sheamus was really, really good. So I went 4 when we did it for War. They had worked hard in 2015 to rehab Reigns. They teamed him with Ambrose. They forced that in. Survivor Series, he gets hosed with the cash in. And then here, he's pretty over. And they screwed up. Like, they should have let him win. I think that's a mistake. They carry it to the next night and they do it there. But, like, I think they should have given him the win here and let him, because the crowd is into it. Like, they want him to win. Is it here or Raw where he destroys Stephanie? I forget that. Is that?
This show closes with the League of Nations holding Sheamus up.
So. Okay, so it's the next night where doesn't he win the title and destroys Spear, Stephanie, and all that. So, and then they kind of screw him with the Rumble Mania stuff. So they had worked hard to rebuild them, and then 16 they kind of back off what they had, all the work they had put in. So I do like the show a lot. Actually, the lowest rated match I have on the show is 2.75, and that's the Dudley's stuff with Rhino.
ECW, which is fun. That's fun nostalgia. Yeah.
Everything else I have is 4.25, 3, 3.25, 3.5, 3.25, 4. So, I mean, I'd say it's probably the most consistent show we've talked about.
Yes. And it's a B pay-per-view
where you want to have it versus SummerSlam 06, but I think it's above everything else we've talked about besides that.
Yep. This is the start of the wicked piss at the end for me. Right, number 4. I think this is a little low off the jump, but as I look at it here.
Yeah.
It is from 1998, WrestleMania 14. Cage match 6.79. The main event was Shawn Michaels versus Stone Cold Steve Austin with Mike Tyson as the referee in that awesome moment. Justin, have you ever talked about WrestleMania matches as we kind of briefly talk about this?
I think we've gone through them at some point. I don't know if we have ever had done like a comprehensive list ranking them all, but you can look around. Maybe there's something. There's also some other projects they're doing, going through every title change. So I've talked about Austin and Michaels quite a bit lately. But I think, this is my inherent problem with using like cage match is that it's purely based on match grade.
Yes.
And as you know, from multiple shows I do, like I'm a big fan of the entire picture of a pay-per-view, not just pure in-ring match grade. Both War and Noel's Bard, we talk a lot about stuff like that, some of the tier lists we've done. So to me, I struggle to see a world where WrestleMania 14 isn't the most important show that's taken place in Boston. It's a change of an era to the most profitable era that they've ever had. It's the launching of Austin as a star. The Mike Tyson stuff is like one of the most important angles they ever did. Taker versus Kane is a massive storyline that they had built to and paid off finally.
Rose.
Yeah. You know, it's like there's so much good stuff. The DX band, it's just like a memorable show. And it's really the vibes kickoff. Are electric. And a lot of 97 is awesome, but it's really the official kickoff of the Attitude Era. So to me, it's number one. We'll see what else the rest they have in the top three here. Maybe I'm missing one, but I don't see how it's not the best show ever in Boston.
Yep, this is in the Larry Bird all-time tier for myself. Even though I gave the show an overall grade of an 8, which is great, but I still feel that this deserves to be all-time for Boston pay-per-views. 100%. This is like the reason why the Survivor Series is 10th for us opposed to 14th, right?
Yeah.
93. This is the version of that on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can not have it there based on Austin, Michaels, Tyson, Taker, Kane alone. And the rest of the stuff is good. Like, I know that maybe the in-ring quality grades are low, but like the Cactus and...
Yeah, nothing's bad.
Against the Outlaws is great. Like, you know, like there's so much good stuff in there. Pete Rose with Kane is like super memorable. So, yeah, it's... You know, that's the best Pete Rose thing too, of the Bill Buckner. I left him tickets. He couldn't bend over to pick him up. Like this
about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much good stuff there.
That's why Cage Match is kind of flawed a little bit in a way as an overall.
It's fine. Player. I mean, if you care about in-ring and that's how you want to rate stuff, it's fine. I'm just not at that point as a fan anymore. Like I want to look at the entire package. Like we do on a show like War with Marcus and I, where we go through every aspect of a pay-per-view.
No, for sure. Number three is the Royal Rumble. 2003. This is my first time taking the subway, by the way, here. I'm a junior in high school, and taking the subway was like
big boy Ryan in the big city.
Big boy. Yep, for sure. But man, I was so pumped up for this going in. I watched it recently, and I thought it was still a very, very good pay-per-view. Cage Match with a 7.12. And that's probably off the back of Kurt Angle.
Yeah, Benoit, and Chris Benoit. Angle's pretty much 5 stars. I didn't watch this live. I don't know if I was working nights at this time. I also had just like gotten our own apartment and I didn't have like a ton of, right. We had moved. So I wasn't like spending money on a lot of pay-per-views at the time. I think I watched it pretty quickly after. I mean, Triple H Steiner's all time bad, but it's also one of those like all time bad entertaining matches. Like it's actually kind of funny to watch it. Benoit Angle's I think holds up. To me, it's a 5. And I think it's actually a sneaky underrated Rumble. Like, I think the O2 Rumble is pretty fun.
Star-studded, you know what I mean?
It's got a lot. It's loaded with stars. I like the Michaels-Jericho through line. I like having the big boys at the end. It's not something you get a lot of. With like, it's like, what, Brock, Kane, Batista, and Taker is like the last four. It's a big push for Batista in there. You get the little hardcore segment as well with the weapons and all that with Tommy. Yeah. So
I like Brock opening the show, earning it, and then closing the show, winning it too. Yeah. Good stuff.
I mean, the only down thing is, besides Triple H Shine, you get the Dawn and Tori thing too, which is kind of a messy, but
that's for a demographic that would appreciate that freebie.
For me right now, I'd put this as number 2 behind Mania.
I have this also as an 8, just like WrestleMania 4, but I have it in the Wicked Pissa very good category, even though it has the same grade. I just doesn't feel like it has the all-time match. Excuse me, WrestleMania 14 is just all-time to me. Where this Royal Rumble 2003 just doesn't feel all-time, it just feels great to very good. Right. Second one is surprising, Justin. It is 2012 Night of Champions. CM Punk versus John Cena was the main event in a double pin, but overall, I looked at my grades and I had it at 4 stars, so it's a great match. Cage Match, 7.32 rating. Sleeper of the show, underrated stuff on the undercard. IC title match was really good. And then Team Hell No starting their reign here. But what really kind of puts this show as a sleeper and kind of up why it's on second, according to Cage Match, is because of this sleeper Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton match being at 4.25. And I looked at my rating and I also had it at 4.25. I wish I could rewatch it beforehand since I haven't watched 2012 in a while, but this is like a surprisingly like, holy shit card in pay-per-view in a way too.
Yeah. 2012 is an odd year. Cause you're kind of got the Cena's having a miserable year thing going on, even though he's winning a bunch of matches and fighting for the title. But it's a year of a lot of change, right? It's a big like John Laurinaitis year. Punk's in the middle of his reign, as on top. You know, you've this had is Brian Punk's
transitioning to a heel too.
Yeah, yeah. And you had Brian, like all that stuff with him and AJ, and then turning into Hell No. So it's kind of a little forgotten pocket in here before like the anti-fan era of 2013 comes around.
Yeah.
But I like you, I haven't watched in forever. My gut tells me it's below Mania and below Rumble 03. So we'll see.
But I have it in the Wicked Pissa tier, and I also gave it an 8.
You got a lot in that Wicked Pissa tier. How many you got in there? 19 shows? I feel like every show you have is
I got four. Pissa. I got 4 in the Wicked Pissa, and I have 2.
It's like the 30th show you've said.
And I have 2 in the Larry Bird tier, and the first being 2022 Survivor Series War Games. I was there. So maybe I'm a little bit sentimental with it, but I thought it was the culmination of a lot of good things. The undercard was fantastic with the 3-way US Rollins, Lashley, and Theory match. I thought that the Finn Balor and AJ match was very good to great. And of course, Ronda and Shotzi had kind of like a bad match. But overall, I think this War Games match is the best modern war game match of all time. We did the countdown on the No So in November, counting down the greatest war game matches. And this was 4th, but Cage Match with a 7.51 score. And I went 8.5 as an overall myself. I'm probably super high being there live. I got my I got my poster of it right there with all the Bloodline signing it. So I could gush about this all day. I've gushed about it on many podcasts and YouTube videos. So the floor is yours, Justin. What do you think of this pay-per-view?
Yeah, I remember liking it quite a bit. I wasn't able to go because it was the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. It was something like that. It was like a tough, tight night for me to pull
right
off.
After Black Friday.
Yeah. But I remember enjoying it. Like, I think we had a little gathering here to watch it and being pretty into it. Anything Bloodline at that point is still pretty hot. Again, your mileage is going to vary depending on how into you are to some of the pathos and the storytelling, right, that comes with it. You're going to get that mixed in as always. But yeah, I would have this pretty high. I mean, you just look at the other stuff we talked about, just by almost by attrition, it's going to finish high because the level of work of that era in 2022 is still in that little bit of a window too, where Vince is not there, but you know, we know he's on the phone. But so I think it's kind of in that optimistic era as well, which adds to the vibe. So yeah, I can't put it above WrestleMania 14. I just can't. So
it's the culmination of a lot of things. I understand.
Yeah, but 14 to me, it's the start of the era. You just can't. It's the most important show in Boston. If this show didn't exist, not that much changes. WrestleMania 14 is the only show on this list that had to exist as is to drive the future of the promotion. If this show didn't exist, you wouldn't miss anything.
All right. Well, let's kind of rank them as we put a cap on our Survivor Series War Games. All right, Justin. So 14 being your last one is the 2013 Survivor Series. I believe we agree with that.
Yes.
And then will we go 08 Survivor Series or 2000 King of the Ring?
08 Survivor Series.
All right. So that's number 13 for us now. And then King of the Ring?
Yes.
And then the Survivor Series 1993. And that's the bottom.
Would be next above that?
Above that would be Clash of Champions 2017.
I don't know. I kind of think Survivor Series is more memorable. And I know it's a nostalgia in me, but I just think
there's nothing above 3 stars on it.
I know.
I get it.
I'd still rather watch the Foreign Fanatics and All America. I'm not trying to go full Steve Bannon, I promise. But I'd rather watch that than like AJ and Jinder. And I love AJ. AJ is one of my favorites.
Four dinks. And
four dinks. Men on Mission. You're thinking 94 is the midgets. That's awful. 93 is the Bushwhackers and Men on a Mission.
The Knights bullshit with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's not good. But that's Ray Combs is great. Ray Combs is great in that match, though.
I don't give a fuck about the in-ring introductions. We have two all-time bad Survivor Series matches on a 5-match card. The Smoky Mountain Tag Titles is the best match on the show.
The opener is fun. Fine. All right, whatever.
Savage was eliminated right away.
All right, it's fine. It's fine.
It's the top of the tier. It's whatever. All right. But anyways, King of the Clash of the Champions is 10th here for us. It's good, but there's not much substance there. And then what do you want to do? Do you want to remove the Royal Rumble all the way down, or do you want to move Hell in the Cell all the way down?
I think Rumble, then Hell in a Cell, because Hell in a Cell at least has the great Cell match, right? Rumble 11 doesn't really have a great match, does it? I know Edge and Dolph is like fine.
Edge and Dolph is very good, but it doesn't the best match out of the two.
I'm going to factor in the disappointment stuff again, I guess, a little bit. Like a Rumble should never be that
exactly
fucked up.
Yeah. And then so just to count down on this tier, we have 10 Clash of the Champions 2017. We have 9 Royal Rumble 2011. We have 8 Hell in a Cell 2016. So 7th is that the end of the mid tier? And do you think Money in the Bank 14 is mid tier, or do you think it's Wicked good?
Well, what else so we're gonna have 5 shows for 4 slots, pretty much, right, in the Wicked Pissa category here?
Yes.
All right. So what are those 5? Let's see which one's the worst of the 5.
Money in the Bank 14 is at the 7th slot in the mid category.
Right. But so let's see So
in the Wicked Pissa category here, which is very good, we have SummerSlam 2006. We have TLC 2015, we have the Royal Rumble 2003, and we have the Night of Champions 2012.
And how many goats, how many Larry Birds we got? Just the two?
Just the two.
Okay.
So we are equal now, 4-4-4-2.
Right. So the question really comes down to Money in the Bank 14 versus Night of Champions 12, I think, right? That's kind of the arc. I think that's kind of the battle.
Yeah, I just think Clash of Champions 12 is just a better show. Okay. You have 2 4-star matches.
Yeah, so Money in the Bank in that slot.
Yep. So Money in the Bank is 7. Clash of the Champions 12 is underrated at 6. And then it's kind of, well, then it's like TLC. Do we go TLC 5th?
Yeah, I'd go TLC. Then I would go
SummerSlam Rumble.
SummerSlam 06, Rumble 03. Because Rumble 03, you get the 5-star match and a really good Rumble.
Yep.
And then good. I'd go Survivor Series 22 and then WrestleMania 14.
And I agree. Even though I think WrestleMania, I think Survivor Series is a better show, but WrestleMania means much, much more.
I think if you were to say right now, you know, we do a lot of the Lightning trivia stuff now on TikTok and all this. Like, if I were to say, all right, name me all the Boston pay-per-views, right? And maybe I will. If I were to do that, WrestleMania 14 is like got to be one of the first ones you're going to say. Right? Yes. You're probably not thinking Survivor Series 22 unless you were there.
You're thinking 93 Survivor Series 2 right away.
Those are the two you're saying, I think. Or maybe Rumble 03. I think those are the ones that are coming to your mind, which is fine. Again, you're going to remember the stuff that you remember nostalgically. But I think 14 is synonymous with like the Fleet Center with Tyson. It's so important.
It's important.
It's the biggest show they ever had.
There's nothing bad on it.
No. So next time we're going to rank all the house shows in the garden.
I'm down. I've got them all on ready to go. So I'm good.
All right. Check out everything North South Connection. We love all the feedback and engagement. We'll keep the trivia shorts coming, doing more stuff like this for sure. So subscribe on TikTok, subscribe on YouTube and on Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the place. And of course, on any podcast application, we have tons of great content coming for you constantly. Subscribe, contribute, share, love. We'll talk to you soon. Let's get the fuck out of here, kid.